Today we have a very short passage from Mark chapter 3, verse 31 to 35. It's only a few verses, yet contains so much interesting points. And it has to do with when the Lord was in the house preaching one day, the Blessed Mother shows up. And it says, along with the brothers of Christ. And of course, here, a lot of times people say, well, what does this mean? Does this mean that Mary had other children? Because the Catholic Church has always held that Mary is perpetually a virgin before, during, and after the birth of Christ, that Christ was the only child that she had. So how do we explain this to our brothers and sisters of other denominations that might hold something differently? The first point you have to make is that it never refers to these brothers or sisters of Christ as Mary's children. It never once. Scripture indicates that these were Mary's children. They were never called Mary's children. They're always called the brothers of Christ or the brothers and sisters of Christ. Jesus is always referred to as the Son of Mary or the Son of the Carpenter, always singular. And we know that the word brother in Scripture also included other relatives, such cousins, uncles, nephews, etc. So cousins and other relations were called brethren of the Lord or brothers or sisters of Christ. If you want to use the Old Testament passage where it says Lot was Abraham's brother, that's what the Bible says. And yet if you look closely in other passages, he was actually his nephew. And yet it used the word brother. Another good point to mention, of course, is at the foot of the cross, Mary had to was entrusted to John, the beloved disciple by Jesus. If Mary had other children, legally they would have had to take care of their mother. But Mary had no other children, so Jesus entrusted her to a disciple, John the Beloved. Another good point to show is in the Acts of the Apostles, when the brethren of the Lord were all praying together, it refers to these 120 brothers of the Lord. Does that mean Mary had 120 children? Of course not. As somebody once said, that would mean she would be perpetually in labor, right? Not the perpetual virgin. So we believe in the perpetual virginity of Mary, not her perpetual labor ability. Okay, so that's what these brothers are. These are cousins and relatives of Jesus. But then it gets even better, more interesting, because they want to talk to him. And so they can't get through the crowd, so they send word to Jesus that your mother and your brothers and sisters are outside asking for you. Jesus seems to say something here that seems to almost downgrade his mother or these relatives. He turns and says, well, who are my mother and my brothers? And then he looks around at his followers, the men and women gathered in the inner circle that he's teaching, his disciples. And he says, here are my mother and my brothers. So the Lord is talking about the importance of spiritually being a disciple. That's even more important than being related to him physically, which is good news for us, right? Because we're not related to Jesus physically, and yet he's inviting us to become part of his family, to be a spiritual brother and sister and mother to him. So this is good news for us. He says, here are my mother and my brothers. That's what you are. You are brothers and sisters in the Lord. Thanks be to God. You don't have to be related to him by blood. You're related to him by adoption in the Holy Spirit. And then he tells how to become related to the Lord. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother. That's great news. If you do the will of God, that's how you enter into a relationship with the Lord. You don't have to be physically related to him. You just have to be a disciple and to do the will of God in your life. And of course, who did the will of God most perfectly? It was his mother. Mary did the will of God so beautifully, so perfectly. At the Annunciation, she said, let it be done unto me according to thy word. Mary said yes to God. Mary did the will of God. At the Annunciation, when she went to visit her cousin Elizabeth, when she gave birth to him in Bethlehem, when she presented him in the temple, when she found him in the temple, at the wedding feast of Cana, at the foot of the cross, at the resurrection, at Pentecost when she was gathered with these others and received the Holy Spirit. Mary did the will of God par excellence, which it means in French, really good. Okay? So Mary did the will of God very perfectly and very beautifully. That's why St. Augustine says that this passage does not downgrade the Blessed Mother. It exalts her because she was physically the Mother of God, the Mother of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But even more importantly, she was a disciple of Christ, a follower of Christ, because she did the will of God most perfectly. More perfectly than any other human being has ever done the will of God, Mary did the will of God. She said, "Fiat, let it be done unto me according to thy word." Therefore, Augustine says, she is twofold the Mother of God, physically, but also spiritually. Physically and spiritually, so she is doubly blessed. Yes, she gave birth to Messiah, but what is even more important for us is that she did the will of God, and we too are called to do the will of God in our own life. And I just remembered I brought just a couple quotations about what the three greatest Protestant reformers said about the Blessed Mother and her perpetual virginity. Let me just end by reading a quote from Martin Luther, John Calvin, and Erlich Zwingli, the three founders of Protestantism, regarding the Blessed Mother and her perpetual virginity. Here's what Martin Luther says. "It is an article of faith that Mary is the mother of the Lord and still a virgin. Christ, we believe, came forth from a womb left perfectly intact." So Luther believed that Mary only had one child, and that was our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Here's what John Calvin said. "There have been certain folk who have wished to suggest that this passage, which says that Joseph knew her not until she bore a child, and that she gave birth to her firstborn, that the Virgin Mary had other children than the Son of God, and that Saint Joseph had then dwelt with her later. What folly this is! For the Gospel writer did not wish to record what happened afterwards. He simply wished to make clear Joseph's obedience and to also show that Joseph had been well and truly assured that it was God who had sent his angel to Mary. He had therefore never dwelt with her, nor had he shared her company. And besides this, our Lord Jesus Christ is called the firstborn. This is not because there was a second or a third, but because the Gospel writer is paying regard to the precedence. Scripture speaks thus of naming the firstborn, whether or no there were any other question of a second." Again, that's John Calvin. And lastly, Zwingli, "I firmly believe that Mary, according to the words of the Gospel, as a pure virgin, brought forth for us the Son of God, and in childbirth and after childbirth forever remained a pure, intact virgin." So if you're ever talking with people of other denominations that are not Catholic, and they begin to ask you about, you know, Mary having other children, the best thing to do is, okay, let's say, and let's go to what your founder of your religion said. Let's go to Calvin, Zwingli, and Martin Luther and see what they said about Mary's perpetual virginity.